Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Citizens can criticize the judgments, but no one has the right to attribute motives or question the bona fide of judges, the Supreme Court said on Monday and stressed that any attempt to browbeat judges have to be dealt with sternly. The top court held three persons, including two advocates, guilty of contempt of court for making scurrilous and scandalous allegations against its two sitting judges, saying there can't be ill-founded sympathy for lawyers who try to threaten judges. It said that bona fide and constructive criticism of any institution, including the judiciary and judgments pronounced by it, is always welcome and cannot amount to contempt of court. However, if the allegations leveled go beyond the ambit of criticism and scandalize the court, then there can be no manner of doubt that such utterances or written words would amount to contempt of court, the top court said. A bench of justices Deepak Gupta and Anuradha Retail. A bench of justices Deepak Gupta and Anirudh Bose held advocate Vijay Kurle, State President of Maharashtra and Goa of the Indian Bar Association, Advocate Nilesh Ojha, President of Indian Bar Association, and Rashid Khan Pathan, National Secretary of the NGO Human Rights Security Council, guilty of contempt for making scandalous allegations against the judges. The top court listed the matter through video conferencing on May 1 for hearing on quantum of sentence for the contemners. And President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Monday threw his weight behind Turkey's top Muslim cleric, who caused a storm by claiming homosexuality brings disease and causes this generation to decay. In his first sermon during the holy month of Ramadan on Friday, Ali Erbas also maintained that hundreds of thousands of people every year are exposed to HIV due to homosexuality and adultery, and called on worshippers to come together to fight this kind of evil. Opposition and rights groups condemned the comments by Erbas, who heads Turkey's religious affairs presidency. But in a public address following a cabinet meeting on Monday, Erdogan said any attack on Erbas amounted to an attack on the state. Erdogan, a pious Muslim whose ruling party has roots in Turkey's Islamic movement, said Erbas had fulfilled the duties of faith, the wisdom of Islam and of his office, and that his words were binding for all Muslims. He said the tone of the criticism against the cleric had turned into a deliberate attack against Islam. The Ankara-based Human Rights Association has filed a criminal complaint against Erbas, accusing him of sedition, and the Ankara Lawyers Association accused him of inciting hatred. The association called for his removal from office, saying it would not be surprised if the cleric were next to call on people to light torches and burn women as witches. Meanwhile, the Ankara Chief Prosecutor's Office said it was launching a criminal investigation against the Ankara Lawyers Group for insulting religious values. Many ruling party officials and supporters have also rallied around Erbas on Twitter. Homosexuality is not banned in Turkey. Erdogan's government, however, has in the past few years banned LGBT parades and other events, often citing public security. And demand for digital advertising is shriveling after a decade of explosive growth amid retail. And demand for digital advertising is shriveling after a decade of And demand for digital advertising is shriveling after a decade of explosive growth amid a downturn. That could complicate things for Google and Facebook, who for the first time may have to contend with revenues that are actually shrinking. With consumers mostly at home and unemployment soaring, advertisers are slashing promotional spending, in some cases all the way to zero. For Google and Facebook, who together account for 70% of the US market for digital ads, that so far has translated into tighter restraints on spending without the layoffs, pay cuts, and furloughs that publishers and other industries have already imposed. Google CEO Sundar Pichai has already told employees the company will curtail its hiring for the rest of the year and is considering deep cuts in its own marketing budget through 2020, according to internal communications obtained by CNBC that Google confirmed. Facebook warned last month that its business was already being squeezed by the advertising downturn, although it didn't provide details. So far, however, it's not clear how badly the tech giants might be hit. Some of the early clues are expected this week when Google's corporate parent Alphabet and Facebook report their first quarter financial results, but those results will only give a hint of the impact. That's one reason analysts polled by FactSet are still predicting a 13% increase in Alphabet's revenue from the same time last year and a 16% revenue increase for Facebook. The real test will come in the current April-June quarter, where analysts currently project roughly flat revenue for both companies. That could prove optimistic, though, given that airlines, hotels, and other travel-related businesses typically spend heavily on marketing campaigns during the spring and summer. The good news for Google and Facebook is that digital ad spending can ramp back up as quickly as it declines, since it doesn't require the upfront planning necessary with traditional media. That means companies might boost digital campaigns at the first sign of recovery, said Tony DiResta, a Washington, D.C. attorney who helps small and large companies promote their brands. Google, at least, has already been through this once as a public company. In the second quarter of 2009, during the Great Recession, its revenue growth slowed dramatically to just 3%, prompting it to reduce its workforce by about 400 employees during that year. The only time the company has spared its payroll in its 21-year history. Since then, Alphabet has added nearly 100,000 employees in a relentless expansion built upon Google's Android mobile phone software and other products it continued to develop during the previous downturn. This recession may look quite different. Google, Facebook, and the overall digital market are far larger than they were back then and potentially less nimble. The digital industry has posted double-digit annual growth for a decade and was on track to hit about $125 billion in 2019 in revenue, based on information compiled by the Interactive Advertising Bureau, which hasn't released final numbers for the year. For 2020, Magna Research predicts that digital ad sales growth will slow to 4%, but said revenues won't shrink despite the tough times. Overall, ad sales could fall by 3%, according to Magna, with a flurry of political spending this fall during the US presidential election expected to ease the recession's blow. Some analysts believe the current downturn could leave the tech duopoly in an even stronger position once the global economy recovers. Both Google and Facebook have enormous cash reserves, $120 billion for Alphabet and $55 billion for Facebook. They can use to acquire other potentially attractive services that can't survive the recession on their own, often for cheap. Both Google and Facebook are in a good position, said eMarketer analyst Nicole Perrin. And after intensive research over the years, experts have finally found the records and evidence of the first known human to be killed by a meteor strike. The record has been credited to multiple documents found in the General Directorate of State Archives of the Presidency of the Republic of Turkey. The paper cited a meteorite hitting and killing a man while paralyzing another on August 22, 1888, at the Suleymaniyah region in Iraq. This, according to researchers, is the first ever known proof of death by a meteorite strike. The paper, published in the journal Meteoritics and Planetary Science, states that the event was reported to Abdul Hamid II, 34th Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, by the governor of Suleymaniyah. The region then fell under the larger Ottoman Empire. While there is no information about the altitude, speed, size, and location of the debris, it is believed While there is no information about the altitude, speed, size, and location of the debris, it is believed to have traveled from the southeast, hitting a pyramid-shaped hill in Sulaymaniyah. The researchers cited, "This event is the first report ever that states a meteor impact killed a man, with the support of three written manuscripts that report an event in such detail up to our knowledge. Given the fact that these documents are from government sources, there is little scope for further suspicion." Before this case was revealed, the earliest known injury caused by a meteorite dates back to November 1954, when a grapefruit-sized Sylacauga meteorite hit a 34-year-old woman in the USA. The meteorite crashed through the roof of a farmhouse in Alabama and hit Anne Elizabeth Fowler Hodges. And Pakistan batsman Umar Akmal has been banned from all cricket for 3 years after a disciplinary panel on Monday found him guilty of breaking his country's anti-corruption codes. Akmal, a 29-year-old right-hander who has played in 200 internationals across three formats of the game since 2009, was charged last month with two unrelated breaches of the Pakistan Cricket Board's anti-corruption code. The clause under which Akmal was found guilty relates to a failure to inform authorities about approaches to engage in corrupt practices, including match-fixing or spot-fixing. He cannot play cricket at any level now. The detailed verdict will be issued by the panel later, a PCB spokesman said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.